and welcome to another episode of Robbinsdale Revisited. In the first half of our interview with Lou Ambrose, we started scratching the surface of her family's Robbinsdale roots. In this episode, we're heading back to Sacred Heart, where Lou remembers the overwhelming presence of the legendary Father Nolan. She shares some truly classic stories about him, from his dry wit and his obsession with model trains to the scary hacking cough that let every student know he was headed down the hallway. Lou recalls the harrowing reality of 1960s parochial school fashion and recounts the era of mandatory stockings and garter belts for six-year-olds. It wasn't all strict dress codes. There were creaky wooden floors at the Ben Franklin, getting a dress and a guitar from Monkey Ward's, terrace dairy treats, and the lost pond of Sleepy Hollow. Lou takes us on a walk down memory lane through the shops and streets and walks to school that define a real Robbinsdale upbringing.
My father was, the chairman or co-chairman of the fundraising committee to build what I still call the new church at Sacred Heart. Because I remember going to the old church. I see a picture of it right behind your head.
Yeah.
And then they built the new church. And I think Father Nolan also had films. There were films of the bell being put up. But I had written down, actually, that I wanted to mention Mr. McNair, Fred J. McNair, who was my teacher in eighth grade. Black Baptist man. And wonderful teacher.
At Sacred Heart.
At Sacred Heart. They'd run out of nuns. You know, they were running out of nuns. I mean, even when I started, they had lay teachers, lay women. But then they had he probably started in 66, I think. They had three different male teachers. There was Mr. Quinn, Mr. Pearson, Mr. McNair, and then actually there was also Mr. Cronin, but he left. So there were some men teachers, but of course, having a Black Baptist teach in a Catholic school that mostly was nuns, I was very impressed. Now, Father Nolan was gone. I don't know if I don't know what his feelings were on race, but he was so formative to me. I have great respect for him.
Not Father Nolan.
Father Nolan was a character. And my parents were, especially my father, great friends with Father Nolan, really close, thick as thieves. Mm-hmm. Father Nolan directed the Upper Room performance. That was his annual thing about the Passion of Christ. And my father was frequently in it, as was my mother. And I have one of the, I don't know if the Historical Society want this or maybe Sacred Heart. I have the Blessed Virgin costume.
Oh, goodness. We have this puppet that Bob.
Yeah, well, he was into marionettes and he had an astronomy club.
Yeah.
He was a very interesting man. He traveled in the Middle East. I mean, he had a very dry sense of humor. And I remember him always saying, or my mother saying that Father Nolan, he married my parents. And he said, if, Mary, when you've had enough. I have a divorce fund for you, so you can, which of course, as a priest, to say, that's the way he digged my father. You know, he would like give little digs back and trains too. He was into model trains
and streetcars.
Streetcar. Oh, yes. I remember the streetcar you talked about in one of your podcasts, and that sat in the playground forever. And we were dying to get in it. We would love to have seen it. Some of the braver ones would crawl up on the side, but you weren't supposed to do that.
The Minnesota Streetcar Museum, there's a guy named Aaron Isaacs down there. He invited me over to see this footage that Father Nolan had this color film. Some of it was in the Ambrose house because he had passed it along to somebody and it ended up in an attic. And then
I donated it to Sacred Heart.
We have it on this computer here. And you can see the streetcar coming into town and then being put in the playground and the kids are on it. But the other thing he did was just jump on one of the last streetcar runs where it went all the way from Minneapolis over to St. Paul. And he filmed the entire thing.
Oh, wow.
He going through downtown Minneapolis. You go through this tunnel in St. Paul. You go through all these neighborhoods.
Do you have that too?
We have a copy of it.
That sounds like, see, in filming in color back then. It was really
1950.
Impressive.
And he's filming the flagpole that they erected at Highway 52. And of course, that cuts through that grueling land there. There must have been easement at some point.
Yeah.
And I have never really been able to pin down when that was built. Botno Boulevard, Highway 81.
Oh,
east of the
funny you should ask.
Highway 52.
I have to bring it over. There was an envelope this thick that said communications with the highway department. Mm-hmm. And it's all about easements. And some of it was in the 30s mm-hmm. and some of it was in the 50s. I was always told that the highway came through in the 40s.
That makes sense.
And that my uncle, John Healy, who lived in the house for a chunk of his years, because he was my nephew of my mother and his parents were all dead. He was an engineer and he actually worked on the highway mm-hmm. and then he'd come home for lunch.
Yeah,
because it was right there. But I never saw the house without the highway.
When you started at Sacred Heart, mm-hmm. When you started going to school there, when you started going to church, was Father Nolan active in the school?
Yes, he was an overwhelming presence. The one thing that I absolutely hated about Father Nolan was that he required all of the girls to wear long stockings because you can't have bare legs, female bare legs. That was forbidden. And so back in 1960, now there's tights, right? And all kinds of things that girls can wear. But back then there were no such things as tights. Mm-hmm. So we had to wear long cotton stockings with a garter belt.
Now, hold them up.
That isn't kinky. I don't know what is. And then you would run on the playground and you'd fall down and you'd tear a hole in your stocking. And then your mother would darn it up. And so you'd get this little bump on your knee. And then you'd have to go in and kneel in the church mm-hmm. on this bump. It was horrible. We hated it. Mm-hmm. And after he died, then they liberalized the policy and you could have, and tights came along. So you could have flesh colored tights, which was very racy. And then it eased up later. But as a little 6-year-old girl, putting on a garter belt was really weird to me.
Yeah.
And he was scary. He was very scary. He was very old and he would come in and you would always hear his hacking cough.
As a smoker?
Well, I don't know if he was a smoker, but he just had this cough and you'd hear, it's like, okay, he's coming.
When you're a kid, did you go over to the Terrace Theater?
Oh, all the time. Yeah. Cause my house was like, just a couple blocks from there. Yeah.
Just up the street. And so you maybe go see a movie there. Let's say if you were, I don't know, if you're out and about and going downtown, what mm-hmm. where would you go and shop?
Oh, well, I didn't have nearly the exciting youth that you seem to have talked about. I was a pretty straight and narrow little girl.
Me too.
I don't know. You were out and doing stuff. Ben Franklin, big okay. place to go. Love yep. Ben Franklin.
There's the cash register.
Yeah. They had all the candy. You had to go there for Halloween to get your costume. They had the creaky wooden floors, which I loved. Bronze Bakery was another place because that's where Willette's or what. Anyway, it's on. Yep. This is where the bakery is now. And then, of course, you mentioned Red Barn. That was another one that it amazes me to think about the fact that we've lost a whole street. Remember how there was a street down that hill mm-hmm. and Red Barn was to the side of it. And so it looked so different. Dairy Queen, big sure. place to go.
There's a Pizza Hut there by the Red Barn, too.
Yeah, but that's later. That's yep. later. Red Barn was there before. And what else did we do downtown Robbinsdale? Well, you go to Coast to Coast.
No.
Coast to Coast was, and it's in the same place that Ace Hardware.
Remember the Red Owl?
Oh, yeah. Before that, I just did a little trivia thing with a friend of mine who went to Sacred Heart with me. It's like, name all the stores in Robbins Center.
Okay.
Yeah. And National Tea is the first one that comes to my mind because that's where the post office is now. Yeah. So my grandmother and my mother shopped at National Tea before Red Owl because mm-hmm. Red Owl wasn't there yet. But yeah, we went to Red Owl and I think it was Red Owl, maybe it was National Tea that had this little, if you spent a certain amount of money there and you brought your cash register receipt in, you could pick out a doll. And so we had all these dolls that we would get from with little fancy dresses, you know, the Spanish doll and the mm-hmm. Southern doll.
I think when they did open that post office, they had a big event and we have pictures of Hubert Humphrey standing there dedicating the post office. And I think Ambrose is in one of those pictures, Leo Ambrose.
Oh, that could very well be. And when you mentioned Hubert Humphrey, it makes me think of Whiz Bang Days and the Whiz Bang Parade, because he was definitely the Grand Marshal at least once. And the Whiz Bang Parade used to go straight down West Broadway
sure.
and stop and end in the Legion parking lot. Mm-hmm. Of course, then with the abortion protests, that's when they started turning it at 40th. And I was so mad about that because I would just sit in my front yard and I would sure. watch the parade. And then a little later, we'd have the fireworks. It was all right there in my front yard.
Yeah.
It was very nice. But yeah, Hubert Humphrey was the Grand Marshal. And of course, my mother was one of the honored older adults one year. So she got to sit in the back of a convertible with, I think it was Harold McEwen, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, a nice tradition that was, too.
It was.
We do it anymore.
Yeah, it was very nice.
You know, We have all sorts of people here at the Historical Society that would be great candidates,
yeah.
Honored older adults.
Absolutely. Even late now.
I was like, I talked to the whiz bang people about that.
Yeah.
Because it was very nice. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they also used to have, I think you mentioned, the carnival, which was down at Lakeview Terrace Park. But before that, it was in Robbins Center. And I remember one time, I wanted to go to the carnival, and my mother's like, you eat your dinner first, young lady.
Okay.
So I shoveled in the food, jumped on my bicycle, tore down to Robbins Center, jumped on the Tilt-A-Whirl. Not a good thought. Not a good
plego. Get a little sick.
Got a little sick on the Tilt-A-Whirl that day, but the Tilt-A-Whirl was like right outside where the post office is. I'll never forget that. But and then one time waking up and looking out the window in the morning and seeing a little herd of ponies that were grazing in the kind of over where all those bushes are now on
right.
81. And I just thought I died and gone to heaven because, of course, I wanted a pony my whole life.
Yeah.
But they were for the
little pony rides. They were still doing that.
That reminded me of a story my mom told about when she used to go before Sacred Heart was built. She had to go to the Parker School that then became the Regent School?
Yeah. So it was the Parker School. Then it was Robbinsdale Public School.
But that's the school she went to up on Regent there. And it was a long walk from my house. And so one day it was a big snowstorm and my grandmother convinced the milkman to give her a ride up to Regent. And he had his sleigh with his two big black horses. And my mother got to sit in that sleigh and she said she thought she was just the best ever because it was really impressive to her to get to ride behind a team of black horses. So
weird question. You don't know which milk company it was.
I did not know which milk company it was.
We had a few of Aubrey here, but I also know like the Franklin Creamery came out here.
Yeah.
And then of course the Ewald.
Well, we had an Ewald Brother milk box. And I remember that. It's just, there was just nothing like having milk in bottles, you know. It would come in actual glass bottles. And when we were at school in Sacred Heart, you know, you had to fast before you could go to communion. So you couldn't eat breakfast if you were going to mass. Hmm. So we would eat breakfast in our room, in the schoolroom, and they would bring a little, you know, metal thing with the clanking little milk bottles, little tiny milk bottles. Just a very good
story. So is the story of going to school Regent, was that before Sacred Heart was built then? So we're way back in the past.
Early 20s. She was born in 14. So yeah, she would probably have been 20, 21, somewhere in there. Yeah.
Did anybody in the family go to the public schools? Or?
No, we were all. Yep. And once there was a church, that's where we were.
Yep. And where'd you go after eighth grade?
St. Margaret's Academy.
Okay.
Which is now Ann Watton over in Bryn Mawr. I did do a summer school at Robbinsdale Senior High. So I do have, I met Frank Lubke Neil Lubke and Frank Plute, who were the new Lubke Plute productions over there. They were quite some characters because I took drama.
Uh-huh.
And so I do have memories of being in the Robbinsdale, the big senior high, and just being amazed at how large it was.
Yeah. So have you ever not lived in Robbinsdale?
6 months. I lived down in Minneapolis, close to the old Guthrie Theater, behind Rudolph's Barbecue. I had an apartment there for 6 months. So I basically lived in my basement of my family's house as I got, you know, 20 to about 23, 24. And then I moved into that apartment. Then my aunt died. And so my mother was like, what am I going to do with this house? And I said, well, I'll just move in for a little bit, you know, help you clean it out. Mm-hmm. She had three dogs, my aunt did. And I said, I'll take care of the dogs. It'll be fine. And then by the time I moved in, my mother had found a home for all the dogs. And then I just moved in. It's like, I don't want to move out. So here I am. Deep roots.
That's right. Do you remember Montgomery Ward's?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yes. It used to be an old swamp kind of thing down there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Montgomery Ward's came in. And that was, now I didn't, you know, try to get thrown out of Montgomery Ward's or anything. I told you, I was a good little girl. But I do remember I went down there and I bought my airline, because their store brand was airline, and I bought an airline guitar, which is what I played in the Glee Club at Sacred Heart.
Uh-huh.
And my friend, she went to Sears, and they had Silvertone was their brand. So she had a Silvertone, I had an airline, and I always thought the Silvertone was probably a little superior. But I do remember going down to hanging out. I mean, everything. We bought everything at Ort's, you know.
Yeah.
I remember one time looking for a dress. It was probably in 69 or 70 or something like that. And I was looking for a dress, and the Bridge Over Troubled Waters came over the speaker system. And I was just like, this is amazing. It's a very strong memory.
I sometimes wouldn't want to walk all the way to the Wax Museum. That's where that was our favorite spot to go. But I would. I remember Ward's had sold 45s and records too.
Oh, so they sold everything, really. And yeah, they had that the restaurant you mentioned. They also had like a little garden store place with and some pets. Places that sold pets like Woolworths. Oh my Lord, Woolworths in Robins Center. Parakeets, that sort of thing. So I actually love to go to, when you're asking what we did in Robbinsdale, I love to go to Woolworths and you just look all through there. And I had to buy every horse statue they had. I had to buy that. And they had an old coin machine where you were like shooting bad guys in the Old West. And I remember that that was something you could do there. But I loved Woolworths.
Yeah. How about, so as you're looking up the hill toward North Memorial Hospital, do you remember the building just continuing, the giant parking ramps going up, and the
It got bigger and bigger and bigger. I also remember the traffic circle, and it seems to me it must have been that the Minneapolis bus stopped at the city limits, because I remember when I was probably 4 or 5, my mother would take the car and drive down to the traffic circle to pick my father up when he was coming home from work.
Right.
And so it just, it seems funny that we had a trolley car that would go through Robbinsdale back in the 20s, but in the 60s, we didn't have a bus line that came, or the 50s, I guess, we didn't have a bus line that came all the way through. Does that sound right?
Well, I've got pictures of buses that when the Robin Theater is still open.
Maybe it was the line that he could catch from the office stopped there.
It might have gone a different route. At one point, things went down Noble Avenue and then down Golden Valley Road. So
yeah,
there are a few different bus routes.
But that's the reason the traffic circle isn't etched in my brain, is because we had to go down to the traffic circle and pick up your father.
There was a broasted chicken place there.
Almost. My dentist was right down there too. Tom Gary, he was my dentist.
And there was Hogland Flowers.
Oh, yeah.
St. Cyr at one point. And that just kind of leads to something I always ask people who grew up around here is, did you go over to North Minneapolis for things, or did you?
We'd go to Schuler Shoes. There was a Schuler Shoes on West Broadway. There was a place called Vulcanauts, which was an appliance store. That's where we got all of our appliances. So, we did. Yeah, West Broadway was a place to shop for sure. I still drive there. That's my way downtown. I go down Broadway to Lyndale or to 7th and 9th. That's the way I go. But it's certainly changed a lot over the years, sadly, as every place has.
How about, like, did you go over to the Baskin-Robbins or this little area over here off of Thomas or in Camden?
Camden. We went to the Camden Theater sometimes, for sure.
So it was a buck.
Yeah, it was great. I went and saw Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid there. I loved that a lot. We went to the Baskin-Robbins that was up by Brookdale, and I remember doing that. I think that's still there. It's the 50s place or something. I don't know, but it is now. My father actually liked to take us downtown for fancy things. I remember going down Minneapolis to see My Fair Lady and going out to dinner at the Sheraton Hotel beforehand. So he liked to do a lot of errands.
Yeah.
And it was the Rasmussens that owned that bank. And my sister went to school. Wally Rasmussen was in plays with my sister. My sister was in St. Margaret's. And of course, St. Margaret's would do a play. The boys from Benilde would go over there and try out for the play. And Benilde would do a play. The girls would go. So she was in some play with him. And he threw an opening night party. And of course, he was a rich boy. And they flew in the new Christie Minstrels to play at this party. Oh my gosh. I was like, oh, this is the big time now.
Well, now you're mentioning music. So if you went a little further down the stretch, I knew there was a family that was Lee. It was a little further down along Crystal Lake. Schumacher.
Schumacher's, I know.
Was nice. Choir teacher.
He was a nice man.
Yeah. I think he's living in New Brighton now. He just sold a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I was also told that that house was his wife's father's house.
Yeah. So she, it was similar.
I'm trying to remember her name, but
remember. But yeah, the Schumachers, I definitely knew that was her house.
But the house had been in the family since 1914.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got a good place. Why would you leave?
Exactly. Yeah. And they would occasionally. I would go over there just when he would invite us when we were in choir, when we were kids. He'd invite us over for little choir parties, and we'd do some ice skating out on their lake. And he was telling me the history of the house,
of course,
even back then, and then the history of the lake. And he had some complaints about the lake.
Of course. Yeah, we all do. But I have to say something in the favor of Twin Lake. I think at one point somebody said on your podcast, that was you or somebody you were talking to, that, you know, swimming was never, you know, really good in Twin Lake. I took lessons. I took swimming lessons in Twin Lake.
Yeah.
And they had a nice little beach there,
sure,
lifeguard thing. And so, yeah, we went to Twin Lake to swim all the time.
Do you remember which side? Did you go to the Brooklyn Center side? Was there a beach on the Robbinsdale side?
I don't know which side is which side. The side would have been that side. So the east, would that have been the east side? It's where there's apartment buildings there now. So it was okay. In that area. Twin, yeah. Beach Manor, I think, or something was built, sure, there. Yeah. But yeah, it was a nice, several summers I went there.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever go further afield, like off into Worth Park? And
We went to Worth Park and saw the aqua follies.
Oh, very good.
That were and they had that stand, you know, there was like a bunch of seats, and then they'd had the pool, and then they also do stuff out in the lake. So yeah, Worth Park, absolutely. And of course, I went to St. Margaret's, so Eloise Butler Wildflower Garden was always supposed to stay out of, because that's where all the perverts were.
Of course.
But yeah, we did that. And of course, we also loved to swim at Cedar Lake. Cedar Lake was a nice place to swim. And I ice skated a lot on Crystal Lake. They were still like plowing it. They had the warming house at the southern end.
Yep.
So we would go there, and they had the hockey rink. And so that was a good place to go in the winter. And there was a time when I first moved into the house, we shoveled a, you know, a little ice rink in front of my house. And it's still, the houses next door sometimes do that.
Yeah, the American Legion, when I was a kid, would sponsor skating races on the lake.
Oh, yeah. And no, they did have a loop that.
We had a loop, and they'd come out with a starting gun.
Oh,
it was exciting. And then they'd say, go. And then they gave us little, like, silver and gold medals.
Nice.
And it was every week they passed out these medals. So at the end of the day, they would pass out these little medals. And I still had one for years. I don't know where it is now.
Oh, boy.
But when you mentioned the aqua follies, we had the diver's helmet over there.
Oh, right, right.
One of the few jobs those guys had. Well, they had all sorts of jobs, but mostly what they would do would be survey the bottoms of rivers. And unfortunately, they gave me about 300 photographs of some of it's from around here, but a lot of it's from the Tennessee Valley Project, because they went down there and took pictures.
It's as interesting as watching grain loaded into barges. Yeah,
pretty much. I don't know what to do with them. I can't throw them away.
I know.
So we've got a whole bunch of those, but that was their job before the aqua follies. They would go down in those suits and make sure the bottom of the lake didn't have anything sharp, so that the aqua folly people wouldn't cut themselves on that.
That's lovely that they took all that trouble to do that.
So do you remember where Glenwood Hills Hospital was?
Yes.
Down there in Golden Valley?
My aunt actually was at Glenwood Hills a few times. So I went and visited there, and they had a really nice swimming pool in there in that hospital. Very nice. So, exactly. We would go to Theodore Worth sometimes for sledding and going down that hill. But we weren't a big, you know, activity family. We were more readers.
Right.
Speaking of which, I wanted to mention that I wish I still had it. My first library card came from this library.
Oh, yeah.
It was a little peach colored library card, and I treasured that thing. I felt so grown up when I got my library card. And then of course I had to go downtown Minneapolis and have a separate library card, because they weren't the same system. So the two library cards are mine. But I've, you know, my father was a great reader, and so I had to get my library.
Well, what do you remember about this little library?
I remember
it must have been coming here in the early 60s, right?
Yep.
When this room we're sitting in was built.
Yeah, no, this was not here.
Okay.
And it just had creaky wooden floors. Mostly, because of my age, I only went to the children's section. I remember, you know, just browsing away. Now, I do have a trauma story affiliated with this library, because I took out a book called Tony the Pony, Big Horse Person, you know, and I lost it. And I had to pay for that book. And I was mortified that I'd lost this book. And then after we paid for it, and I was shame, all the shame. and I found it again. I put it in a little cubby and it had gotten wet. So I always think of Tony the Pony and the shame of having lost Dumbo and had to buy it. But Harold and his purple crayon was a big one that I remember sitting in that library and reading because that's a neat quick read. But
yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't have any great memories of the librarians themselves. I do remember some story times, people you know, going and having people read.
Do you know if any of your family was in the library club?
Well, you know, you'd think they would have been because they're big readers. My dad, maybe, but I don't know. He was pretty busy working. So, and my mom, of course, she started working, probably in the mid to late 60s, which I was very not in favor of because it was like, I wanted a stay-at-home mom. What do you think you're doing? And she went right to Crystal Lake Nursing Home before it was Good Samaritan back in the old days. And then I went and worked at Crystal Lake Nursing Home. That was my first job.
Okay.
So I remember like they had an old north wing, which was part of the original building.
And Crystal Lake Nursing Home was, what was the address or approximately?
Well, it's right where Good Samaritan is now. I mean, it was smaller.
Yeah.
And they had the totem pole in the back, which you mentioned. Okay. You know, so you know exactly where it is.
Right. I can draw pictures of the house in my head, and I'm thinking that I'm always trying to figure out exactly where that house sat.
Oh, in that whole area.
Yeah, there's so many different buildings there now.
Yeah, I remember the totem pole being there, and there was also like a little gazebo structure or something.
So you're the second person to tell me about the totem pole.
Ah.
There's only one other guy, and he was, when he was a kid, he delivered newspapers, and he was always astounded by this totem pole.
Yeah.
And of course, this was the Culp family
that
had built the house. Like the Girlings, they had a smaller house that was actually closer to Crystal Lake, and they built this giant thing in the 1920s to be his sanitarium. And he had been a minister over at the Congregational Church, but then left the ministry, studied medicine, and started selling snake oil, and you know, made all sorts of money doing that. We still have some of the bottles here.
Well, I assume that the part that they called the North End when I worked there was probably part of the original sanitarium. I mean, the other part was more, you know, looked more like it was built in the 50s, but that other wing was much more old fashioned.
The other thing I'm trying to figure out is when that house was torn down, and I've never been able to.
That I couldn't tell you because it was always a lake nursing home that I could remember. So anyway, my mom went and worked there. And so that, you know, made me like a latchkey kid. And I just felt I was so put upon because my older siblings had to have stay at home mom. And here I was having to.
So to come home and make up your own snack.
Exactly. Terrible. Horrible.
Yeah. No milk and cookies when you
so hardship for this one. Yeah.
And you were walking back and forth to.
Yeah, I know Hubbard Avenue like the back of my hand. I can tell you everything about Hubbard Avenue because I was a straight shot down to Sacred Heart. Mm-hmm. And they had a policy that if you lived closer than a mile to the school, you couldn't ride your bike there. You had to walk.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I have no
Good
idea.
Good for you.
And so I wanted to ride my bike. So I had a friend, the O'Reillys, Marge and Bill O'Reilly, and their daughter was in the same grade as I was. They lived like three houses from Sacred Heart. So I would go and park my bike at the O'Reilly's and skirt that law. But Brant's had their greenhouse there, Brant Florist. And I knew one of the girls in my class was a Linderholm. So she was related to all that. And I remember going in their greenhouse, and that was just so amazing to go in there. And then the Burks had that big house. They were the bankers, and they had the house still there, but it just seemed very impressive and large. I remember when Sleepy Hollow was built.
Okay.
And before that, there was
apartment complex.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And there used to be a lovely little pond down in that hollow. And the boys would go down there and play hockey all the time. But then eventually they built that in. Probably it had to have been like late 50s, early 60s.
Like so many other things around here, built on a swamp.
Right. Exactly. Such a good idea, too.
Very big.
And, of course, Robinwood was built after my grandmother. That's on West Broadway, but my grandmother sold that property. Gerardy Delmore and all that. There was a house that we called the duplex that was up. And at first I thought it was the first house my mother lived in, but it really wasn't grand enough. So I don't know. Somehow there was a duplex that was up there too. And we rented that for many years. And then eventually I think they sold that property. But yeah, I spent a lot of time on Hubbard Avenue, I have to say, going back.
Yeah.
Which did?
How about a little store at 36th and
Ann's? Ann's Grocery was the early one. And that would have been when I was, you know, like six or seven. Right. And then eventually it became the Terrace Dairy. And that's what I remember for most of my time. But yeah, I went to Terrace Dairy all the time. That's where you just went and got your whatever you needed.
And then if you're heading the other way, did you go up to Noble Drug? And
oh, yeah. I had a friend that lived really close to Noble Drug. So, you know, when we went over to her house, we would go to Noble Drug. The American Legion, you were mentioning that earlier, which was Kitty Corner from the from the store. And I was part of the American Legion Auxiliary.
Oh, yeah.
For children. And so we marched in a couple whiz-bang parades.
Sure.
And we had a little, you know, it looked a lot like a Catholic school uniform, you know, a white blouse and a like navy blue skirt or white blouse and navy blue trousers. And I remember going to meetings in the lower part of the American Legion. And one time they sat down and they ran a film of an atomic bomb explosion. Terrified me. Just totally traumatized me for years, you know. And it was just like, but this is what the commies are going to do to us, you know. Oh, it's a horrifying thing to do to children.
Thanks for listening. I'm Crystal Boyd. Robbinsdale Revisited is brought to you by the Robbinsdale Historical Society. Our little history museum is located at 4915 42nd Avenue North in the heart of Robbinsdale. We're open Fridays and Saturdays from 10 to 3. You can also visit us online at robbinsdale.org. You found this episode, so you know where to find the next one.
Bicycle into the city every Saturday to see our friends. Back home, sitting hand in hand, when the evening ends, when the evening ends, when the evening ends, in Robbinsdale, in Robbinsdale. Ooh.
Our theme music is provided by Gabe Barnett and The Rounders.